You stopped shuffling papers?
I have. I just enjoy shuffling papers.
So this is where we do the results of everyone's favourite Christmas movie.
Yes.
For which we have been given tinsel.
Yes.
Christmas tree.
A crimble tree.
And a hat. Now, all I'm going to say about this, I mean, I'm reluctant to wear hats at the best of times.
Yeah.
On the basis that I look a prat in a hat.
Yeah.
And if you need evidence of that, there you go.
See, the problem with me with the hat is that it'll disturb the quiff. Also, how come you've got a hat with fluffy, right?
It's
and I've got, but I've got like this. It's just,
I have a bigger chair. No, but I am more important.
This is the this is the cheap one. Look, this just made me look like a pixie, right? She's going to mess up my quiff.
But a pixie with a quiff.
No. I'm sorry. No, it's just
off it comes. So thank you very much indeed for voting.
Thank you. I didn't vote. Oh, you're talking to the viewers?
Everyone else.
Okay, everyone else, right.
The viewers who are watching online.
I see.
Now.
That would be on their computers, would it?
And various other
and
formats.
And the internet.
So at number 10, so the whole thing about this top 10,
yeah.
as we count up
yeah.
to the number one,
yeah.
is that... It's not a surprising list.
No, because
this is what I'm suggesting.
Because we kind of came up with the list of suggestions,
yeah.
and then people put them in the order. And some of the suggestions were clearly facetious.
Surprisingly for our audience.
Yes, and one of the suggestions says, when we get to it, it's been the cause of my first silence in several years.
Exactly, so thanks very much for voting, but we'll give you this. At number 10, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, 0.4%, which doesn't strike me as a kind of... A winning amount of votes.
No, I mean, really. It's a terrible film, also known as Santa Claus v. the Martians, and included in there, really, generally, because it's one of those... the story is that the Martians are annoyed because their kid... They've been watching television, they know all about Christmas on Earth, so they come down to Earth and they kidnap Father Christmas and they take two kids off with them. And there are some trivial things about it, which are... There's some stock footage in it, which apparently is the same stock footage which is used in Doctor Strangelove, it is alleged. But that's just about... And the ray
stock
guns...
Stock footage of what?
Of planes, you know. And then apparently the ray guns in it are painted whammo blasters. But the only thing you need to know about Santa Claus v. the Martians, it's one of those films that's the forerunner of all the trauma movies in which everything you need to know about the film is in the title. You really don't need to watch the film. It's like Teenage Nymphoid Barbarian in Dinosaur Hell.
Except you know that Santa Claus wins.
Yeah, of course, because it conquers the Martians. Although in the alternative title, Santa Claus v. the Martians, then you wouldn't know. So what they've actually done in that Conquers the Martians thing is they've taken any hint of danger out of it. It's not meant to be dangerous. It's meant to be fun. The tagline for the movie is... where is it? Tagline for me: blast off for Mars with Santa and a pair of Earth kids. Science fiction fun at its height. I mean, not true. A terrible film, but a good title. I'm really only included in the list because it was a good title. I think I saw it at the Scala years ago.
Number 9, Black Christmas, 0.5%.
And again, Black Christmas is a kind of political entry because we're talking about the 1974 original, the Bob Clark film. It's a sort of nasty slasher movie. And, you know, good, interesting, nasty slasher movie. Was remade recently. And the reason I put it in was because the remake is really terrible. And we're on this awful period at the moment in which people are taking all the horror films that I grew up with. I can't talk to you when you've got that thing hanging in front of your eyes like that, because even
I was told that if I didn't put the hat on, I would appear curmudgeonly.
It's a curmudgeonly. Shall I have to put my hat on?
No, one of us is fine.
Okay, fine. And the remake is absolutely terrible. And the original is not brilliant, but it's a good, solid, nasty little sort of, you know, edgy slasher movie.
But that's not what people want to watch at Christmas.
No, but it is.
Anything nasty and edgy and slashery.
One of the great things about Christmas is the way in which it's always corrupted by sort of cult movies. And Black Christmas has become a cult movie because it's kind of like sort of protean nasty.
One of the great things about Christmas is, you know, gifts, family, warmth. Not being corrupted.
Monsters and people running around for no good reasons committing mayhem. I mean, Christmas is a period in which we're meant to believe that a person we've never met before will break into our house through the chimney, you know, disguised as a guy.
That's true.
Well, yeah, I think that's no wonder it is that people make horror films. Anyway, so Black Christmas is there more as a retort to the remake of Black Christmas than as a classic.
Right, Brazil is at 8. Well, 3.4% of the vote.
Brazil is the first of the films in this list that I would make a claim for as being genuinely great movie.
When I'm thinking Christmas movies, I don't instantly think of Brazil.
The reason Brazil is in there is that Brazil actually has a Christmas setting. At the very, very beginning, you know the whole buttle-tuttle thing?
Remind me.
Well, the premise of Brazil, which at one point was called 1984 and a half. The premise of Brazil is that in this futuristic world, the Ministry for Information Retrieval accidentally goes after the wrong guy because of a typing error. It's the Buttle-Tuttle error. And at the beginning of the film, we see a family sitting around, and you hear the sound of sleigh bells, and it's Christmas Eve, and the kid says to the mum, "Mum, you know, we don't have a chimney. How will Father Christmas come into our house without a chimney?" And suddenly, a hole is drilled in the ceiling, and bang, down come the special forces, and they kidnap the guy, and the whole of the rest of the movie is about what happened to him. And during this, Sam Lowry, the central character, has this total existential crisis, which at various moments has key significant Christmas things going on, ends up with him completely, his head fried and having been tortured and everything, with a character looking at him dressed as Father Christmas. It is a Christmas movie, and all the way through Brazil you hear the sound of sleigh bells. And it's really interesting because this was first pointed out to me by a friend of mine, Chris Dry. He said, "You know the interesting thing about Brazil, it's a Christmas movie." And I said, "Is it?" He said, "Yeah, go back and look at it again." And I did, and I was completely won over. So the next time you see Brazil, which people don't consider as a Christmas movie, go back and look at it. There's so much Christmas stuff in it.
Is that right?
There is.
An awful lot of Christmas stuff in our number 7 movie. 4.6% of you going for Miracle on 34th Street.
Now, Miracle on 34th Street...
Dickie Attenborough version?
No. Well, okay. No, he was good, though. That's the key question. You're kind of getting ahead of yourself there, okay?
Well, it's my show.
Yeah, no, I know. But the thing about it is...
If I want to get ahead of myself, I will do.
I think we put this in the list as the 1947 version. I mean, obviously, there are several versions of it. There's 1947, there's a version in 1950s, there's a TV movie version. And then there is, of course, the version which people tend to sneer at, which is the version from 1994, which is directed by Les Mayfield.
It was quite nice, though.
I love it. I'm about to agree with you.
I love it too.
It's like somehow Christmas brings out the bickering best in domestics, you know, and suddenly you're having a go at me for something which I agree with you. I'm saying that although on the list we had it down as the version from 1940, maybe from the 1950s, I can't remember which one we had. Actually, you asked me which version. Well, you didn't.
Which version do you prefer, Mark?
Well, I'm very glad that you brought that up, because I would say the version from 1994, directed by Les Mayfield, who's a terrible director, but it stars Dickie Attenborough.
But if you're watching,
as Chris, Happy Christmas, Les. But it stars Richard Attenborough as Chris Kringle, and he is, if you look in the dictionary under avuncular, there's a picture of Dickie Attenborough in Miracle on 34th Street, beaming, radiant, all his own beard, as far as I can tell, as well.
I think we ought to wish Happy Christmas to all. You just said he can't. You know, he's a terrible director.
Yeah, but Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, yeah. John Borman.
Happy Christmas, John.
Chris Columbus.
Hey, well, we're going to have a Chris Columbus moment in a
Anyone
minute.
Anyone else we need to include now? In
Julian Sands,
trash.
Happy birthday.
Actor.
Danny Dyer. Oh, directors.
Yeah.
Well, George Lucas.
Happy Christmas.
That'll do. Is this like
now.
Christmas amnesty?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a seasonal goodwill.
But so the key thing here is we are holding up the 94 version of Miracle on 34th Street as the best version, not necessarily because it's the best version, but because it has the best Father Christmas in the shape of Richard Attenborough's Kris Kringle, because he is great.
Number 5 is Gremlins. 5.7% of people saying that should be... Hang on, I've got ahead of myself. Number 6, I've given that away.
You have, yes.
At number 6, The Nightmare Before Christmas. 5.4% of people going for that one.
Now, I love The Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's Tim Burton.
I think it's really, really good. It's an animation. It's produced and written by Tim Burton, but obviously it's directed by Henry Selick. Great songs, great music. And it's all about the battle between Halloween and Christmas. And, you know, as somebody who has a tendency towards the dark side, I mean, I love Halloween. I love, you know, the pumpkins and all that sort of stuff. But I love the idea of a battle. I mean, in fact, funnily enough, it's not a million miles away from the plot of Santa Claus versus the Martians. It's a sort of similar idea. Beautiful animation, really lovely, dark central theme, which is that the characters in Halloween Town are somehow attempting to take over Christmas, and then they do indeed, you know, kidnap Father Christmas. And it's beautifully put together, re-released recently in a 3D version, sort of perennial favorite since 1993, and just one of those movies that really stands the test of time. A fantastic soundtrack CD, really good stop motion animation. If you love The Corpse Bride, which I do, it's a great companion piece. And it's just lovely, because the thing that everyone hates at Christmas, you get that feeling of fattiness, of sugar, of spice, of all things nice. And it's nice to have something which is actually from the Halloween end of it, the dark end, the ghoulish end. And this really fits the bill brilliantly. You've seen it, of course.
Yeah, and you loved it a long time ago. I think I loved it.
You think you loved it?
Yeah, I think I did. Now, no surprise to anyone, as I just mentioned, Gremlins at number five, and this is where, a while back, it's 5.7% of people going for Gremlins. We got you.
You did.
On this, because you hate Chris Columbus, you don't think he can direct his way out of a paper bag, and you said you definitely wouldn't have a Chris Columbus movie in the top 10, and there it is, as pointed out by a number of our listeners. Chris Columbus wrote the screenplay for Gremlins.
He did.
Therefore, he is a talented man.
On a technicality, he didn't direct Gremlins, obviously.
No.
But he did write
He's
it.
He's involved.
Okay. Yeah, no, he was involved. So, I mean, I was, when this was brought up, I did realise that I had completely walked into that, you know, as if into a barn door. It was a hole of my own making. I was hoist by my own petard. And yes, I have indeed nominated a movie for which Chris Columbus is a, you know, key central player. It's not a Chris Columbus movie, but it is a movie in which Chris Columbus is involved. And again, nice to see it doing so well, because it's dark and
festively nasty.
It is festively nasty, and it's a, you know, it's an edgier film than people remember. I mean, Gremlins 2, the new batch, was a lot sort of softer. But the first Gremlins was notable for the fact that they're nasty little critters. In fact, of course, it did inspire then a movie called Critters, in which they were even nastier critters. They came from outer space. And Critters 2, the main course, or was it called... Anyway, so but it's nice to have Gremlins in there.
At number five.
And thank you for bringing it up as my Chris Columbus moment. So, obviously, happy Christmas, Chris Columbus. In fact, with a name like that, he should be playing Father Christmas.
At number four, it's Scrooged. Now, we have 6.6% of people. People realise that as they're totting up these numbers, there's a very, very large vote for the number one movie.
Yes. So we've only got, like, into the double figures now by adding those numbers up, haven't
Scrooge
we?
Scrooge at 6.6. Why is this here?
Scrooge is there because there's loads of different versions of Christmas Carol, you know. There's Scrooge and Scrooged and A Christmas Carol times 98. But the thing with Scrooged is, again, it's not a great movie, but it has Bill Murray in it. Now, I think at Christmas, everyone needs a little bit of Bill Murray in their life. And it's one of those performances. And incidentally, you know, I have the festive cold. This is really great. It's, you know, now we're, you know, into December. I've got a streaming cold. That's how I know it's Christmas, is that my sinuses are all blocked up.
We don't need any of this.
I'm just filling in as background.
Together.
Okay, fine. Even through this...
I bet when you're ill, you tell everybody.
Yeah, I do.
You're at home.
I do, absolutely.
Man flu big time.
But what I'm saying is that even through the festive cold and the pain and the suffering that I'm enduring, the knowledge that I'm probably going to watch Scrooge this Christmas, because it's always on television, is cheering me up. The knowledge that I'm going to sit there watching Bill Murray do that face which says, I'm Bill Murray and you're not. And of course, it's in the period before Bill Murray really started losing his hair and before he became something of a respected thespian, in which he was genuinely an outsider and was considered to be fairly disreputable by everybody. And he is fantastically curmudgeonly in this film.
I mean, Groundhog Day, and it's not kind of Christmas, but it's kind of snowy. And if I want, I think I might even prefer that.
But that's not Christmas. That's specifically,
wintery.
Isn't it? It's the beginning of the beginning of spring. Punxsutawney Phil.
It's got snow in it though.
Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Blah 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 blah.
Die Hard's at number three. This is 11.2%.
Where are my detonators? Once again, proving that Christmas movies don't have to be about nice, jolly, lovely things. They can be about lunatic terrorists taking over an incredibly large tower block.
I mean,
the thing about the exactly, that's it. It's just the setting.
It's an 18. I've got a DVD of this, and it's an 18, and purely for language. And now it would only get a 15.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's a lot of melon farmers. That's why it's an 18.
There's a lot of quite severe violence. There's bullets and kneecaps interfacing in a way that I think would still get it an 18.
It's melon farmers, and I think in those ancient days, melon farmers got
yippee ki yay melon farmer. I think that still gets you an 18. I think that what is referred to as the Oedipal expletive still gets you an 18 certificate. But it's terrific, and it has the definitive Bruce Willis in a vest performance, and of course this year we saw Die Hard 4 Pointless, which demonstrates that even after all these years of being a huge movie star and making Pulp Fiction, doing all the rest of it, Bruce knows where his core audience lies, and it is the vest. Although, of course, in the new movie, he doesn't wear a vest; it's a singlet because he's getting on a little bit. And he still looks better than I do. But you know.
Is it one of those kind of Playtex girdles that holds it in when you press?
No, that's
it
the
in.
William Shatner effect.
Right?
No.
So that's at number three. At number two is a fine movie, The Muppet Christmas Carol. 20.5% of people saying that's the best.
See, people just love The Muppets. And I think it's a funny thing that everyone sort of says it ironically. And we put The Muppet Christmas Carol in sort of vaguely as a last-minute thought, because everyone, when we were doing the list, said, oh, you know, Muppet Christmas Carol. Everyone loves Muppet Christmas Carol. It is really, you know, it is really funny. And then we put it in, and actually, it's I was funny. Surprised that it went in number 2. You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Muppet Treasure Island was good as well. But
yeah, Muppet Treasure Island is great. Muppet Treasure Island is slightly more cine-literate, because Muppet Treasure Island has things like references to Apocalypse Now in it. Do you remember that? With Gonzo waving the thing around and going, is he a good man? Is he a wise? Which is Apocalypse Now. And we obviously, that's going over the head of most of the Muppets audience. But it does demonstrate that the Muppets thing is timeless. That if you're a Muppets fan, because everybody went on the Muppet Show when the Muppet Show was at its height. I mean, everyone who was anyone was on the Muppet Show. And when they were really good, they were absolutely cracking. And in the end, it was the Sesame Street puppets, wasn't it? I mean, that was...
And if you started to do a Fozzie Bear impression, it was very close to John Major.
But you do a really good Fozzie Bear. Go on.
But it's Douglas...
Do it again for the podcasters.
Hiya, hiya, hiya! But that's not far from Douglas Hurd and John Major, and that was slightly disconcerting. You know?
Well, the country being run by Fozzie Bear, you know...
Frankly,
it's, you know, there could be worse things.
So the Muppet Christmas Carol is at number 2, and it is not a... I mean, I didn't want to puncture our particular festive balloon by making it an unsurprising sort of list.
No.
But at number 1, where it's been forever, I suspect, when you ask people their favourite Christmas movie, there it is at number 1, 41.6% of the votes. It's a Wonderful Life, baby.
And you kind of wonder where to start with talking about It's a Wonderful Life. On a serious note, because the title of It's a Wonderful Life sounds so droolsome, it kind of undermines just how dark a film it is. It's a Wonderful Life is not a film about it being a wonderful life. It's a film about a man whose life completely falls apart, and he is driven to the point of suicidal despair. And at the moment that he is going to kill himself because everything has gone wrong with his life, an angel intercedes and shows him that if he thinks the world isn't any good now, he should see what it would have looked like if it hadn't been for him being around. And he is shown a vision of the world which is horrendous because a man of simple decent character wasn't in it. It's not an easy ride. I mean, it ends up in the most monumental group hug of all time, and it is every time
Are
a bell
you
rings
up
and
now?
I
get,
I am, because I, you know,
it's I thought not, it was your cold.
It's not just the cold, which we referred to earlier, and has probably been cut out. And it's not just the new contact lenses, which, incidentally, how am I looking?
Gorgeous.
Thank you. It is the fact,
if blind,
that it is a right contact lenses. I mean, so I might as well have cellophane in my eyes, frankly. It is the moment when he runs back into his house and the thing comes off the banister. And up until now, it's been driving him nuts that he lives in a house in which the banister is falling apart. We're putting these on for the last moment. Okay?
Yeah, building up to big finish.
He's been driving him nuts that he lives in a house in which the banister is falling apart. But now, when he comes back and he realises everything that he's got, he realises that he is a loved man. It's suddenly the fact that the banister is falling apart is majestic. And I'll tell you how much I love It's a Wonderful Life.
How much do you love It's a Wonderful
Life? One
of
my dreams has always been to have in the house a banister that the top comes off of, so that every time you come into the house, you can be reminded of that moment.
Oh.
Unfortunately, due to the architecture of our house, if you did that, the next floor would fall down because there's a supporting strut. And that would probably undermine the general goodwill of the gesture. If you came in the house, said, honey, I'm home, and the landing fell in.
But can we all come home to your house for Christmas this year?
I feel that in a very real way, we all do.
Thank
Happy
you so
Christmas,
much,
Simon.
Thank you so much for letting us share with you on your comments and remarks on the audience's favourite top 10.
And I think we should just end with a last, final, festive Fozzie Bear impression.
Hiya, hiya, hiya!